In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, team. Hey, great to have you here this morning. Thanks for joining us, whether you're here for the first time or you've been here for quite a while. Great to be gathered together. And again, it's like dropping anchor for just a short time. In a world that's full of death, darkness, and deceit or lies, it's so good that we open up 1 John and we see that Jesus is life, Jesus is light, and Jesus is love. He's the antithesis of those things that are in the world. Again, the world full of death, darkness, and deceit. Jesus, life, light, and love. Those are the attributes of Jesus, and ideally, they should be our attributes as Christians. We ought to have the life, light, and love of Jesus Christ flowing through us and in us at all times, not just on Sunday. And if those aren't your attributes, if they're not my attributes, then pray. Pray to God. Ask Him that those things will become our attributes, that those things would rise to the top. Maybe when people think of us, they don't think of life, light, and love. They think of other things. But ask God, please, God, Jesus, would you take a more prominent place in my life? And as you take that place in my life, and you rid me of myself, would you fill me with life, light, and love? That comes only from you. That's a good prayer to pray. In this first letter that John wrote, first of three, really, they're almost like sermons or messages rather than a letter, because really they're not addressed to anybody in particular, as the other letters are. But John, being the pastor that he was, most theologians would say he pastored the church of Ephesus that Paul the apostle helped to establish. You can read about it in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and 18. But in this letter, in this first one, John gives us two of the five reasons for writing this letter or writing the sermon. And the first one comes up in the first 20 seconds. 20 seconds. If you have listened to messages before or a lecture and you're waiting for what the main reason is, you don't have to wait in John's letter. 20 seconds into it, he tells you the first purpose for writing. So here it is. 1 John chapter 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, of course Jesus, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested and we have seen and hear and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, boom, there it is, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we focused on that last week, but if you weren't here, just as a review, fellowship with God is that word koinonia, that Greek word, and it means partnership, communion, friendship, partaker. It's all those things. Becoming one with God, coming into union with God, having all things in common with God, not one part of our lives held back from God. A partnership with God, a friendship with God. That's koinonia. That's what John says he hopes that you would have as you hear the message that he's sharing. That you would have, you might have fellowship with us. How does that happen? When does it happen? When does fellowship with God happen? It happens the moment you're born again. It happens that moment when you cry out to God, whatever way you did that, and you say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need you so bad. I don't understand a lot about you, but what I've heard, I understand. God, help me. I need you. I need a Savior. And at that moment, He deals with your sin. That sin that separated you from God now has been removed through Jesus Christ. And you enter into koinonia, into fellowship with God. How does it happen? Again, simple as ABC. You came to that place, you admitted you were a sinner, you believed on Jesus Christ instead of yourself, and then after you cried out to Him, you confessed it. You told somebody else, you said, I did it. I asked Jesus to be my Savior today, and He came into my life, and I'm born again. ABC. Or as Colin this morning, Colin Miller, he said, it's even simpler than that. He says, his ABC is always believe Christ. always believe Christ Jesus. He simplified it even more than I could. So that's the key right there, to enter into fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Without him, we can't enter into fellowship. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father, no one enters into fellowship with God except through me. So Jesus is the way. You say, well, that's mighty narrow, Tony. You're right, it is. It is. And the way to life is narrow. And I've shared it before. But man, when if the house is on fire and somebody says, this is the only open door to safety, this is the only hope for you, but you either take the door or you perish. If the boat is sinking and somebody says, and you're in the water and you can't swim any longer, and they say, here's a life ring, take it. You can either say, nope, I'll take my chances, or you can grab onto the life ring. And Jesus Christ is the life ring. He saves us. We can't do it ourselves. So it's simple, but yet it's profound. And that is what brings us into fellowship with God. Being born again by crying out to Jesus, trusting in him, having faith in Jesus. Now, the second reason, the second purpose for this message he gives us comes up 8 seconds later. So after saying that he writes these things that our joy may be full, he goes right to verse 5 and he says, make sure I'm there myself. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. Sorry, I got to back up. Lost my spot. Here we go. Verse 4. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Now, this is from last week. We know it's a review, but fellowship with God and joy go together. They go hand in hand. You don't have one without the other. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be full. So John tells us it, but Jesus did too. Paul, the apostle, says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for all with joy. Peter says, though we haven't seen him, we rejoice with a joy indescribable. David, King David, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So joy is throughout the Bible, and it comes from a relationship with God. Now, James tops it off, and he says, brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. And this is where we don't want to confuse joy with happiness. And we shared this last week. But happiness is an emotion. It's like a roller coaster. It goes up and down with the circumstances, no doubt about it. Sadness, pleasure, anxiety, those are emotions, those are feelings, and so is happiness. So James didn't say, don't worry, be happy. James says, when you're in the midst of a trial, count it all joy because God's at work. If you're a Christian, any trial or tribulation you go through is to strengthen you, to build you up. It's not to punish you. It's to draw you near to Jesus Christ. So joy is a position of your heart. It's an attitude of your heart. It's a constant. It doesn't go up and down. Joy, again, related to your relationship with God, and because your relationship with God doesn't change, your joy shouldn't change either. Now, your fellowship with God might change. How close you draw near to Jesus, that might change, but the father-daughter, father-son relationship is never broken. That is set and sealed. And that brings me joy. It brings me joy to hear Jesus say, I'm the vine. Tony, you are the branch. Abide in me. You're going to have fullness of joy. It comforts me when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for you, the sheep. That brings me joy. Those are truths that don't change. Things may go bad. Things may get horrible. And maybe it's because of my own doing. And we may not understand the things we're going through at times, but because my relationship with God is secure, I have the fullness of joy. I've been born again. I'm not going to be unborn again. It's not going to happen. That's set. It's sealed. And that's great news. That's joyful news. Good tidings of great joy. which will be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That was true on Christmas, and it's true today. He's our Savior. That's good tidings of great joy. Now, following these two express purposes for writing, which John states, again in the first four verses, now John takes a moment to present five, what you might call, spiritual exams. So John is going to give five reasons for writing this letter, and next week we'll get to the third one, and then we'll get to the fourth and the fifth one. But John also takes a moment here, starting with verse 5. And again, he presents these five, the first of five spiritual exams to determine if you're really born again or if you're in fellowship with God. So either you've never come into fellowship with God, or you're in fellowship with God, but you're doing something that's breaking your fellowship. Not your relationship, but your intimacy, your closeness to God. Now, I shared last week how when you hear the words, the principal needs to talk to you, the teacher needs to see you, the doctor wants to talk to you, that brings great anxiety to us usually. And we think, what's wrong? When we hear those words, what's wrong? What's happened? When you hear that John is giving us a spiritual exam, you might get real nervous right now. And you might say, it's a pop quiz. I don't want a quiz right now. Unless you're like my wife. She loves quizzes. She loved pop quizzes and tests because she was always ready. I was not ready for those when I was a student. She was a whole different kind of student than I was. And in the same way that you hear the words, the principal needs to see you or talk to you, he has a message for you, brings dread and fear. Maybe when I say that John is going to give five exams, you say, this is not what I came for this morning. But it's too late. You're here now. You can't leave. So you'll be okay. Ditch, that's funny. That's right, John. Senior ditch day. Nope. We're all together. Now, I want to assure you that just like John telling us, here's a message for you, and we hear that all those five reasons that John wrote to us are good things, this first of five spiritual exams, self-exams, are good. They're for your good, not your condemnation, but they're for your bettering, your progress, your walk with the Lord. It's like John is saying, listen, before I go on with this letter, this message, I want you to be sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to be absolutely sure. Because if you don't, the rest of what I'm saying is not going to make any sense to you. It's useless. You know, I went in for a checkup. Actually, I just went in for a routine doctor's visit last year. And I went in there with a few questions. I was feeling some aches and pains. And so I said, you know, I'm going to talk to the doctor about this. And before you know it, within 2 minutes, he's having me put on a robe, the bright lights go on, and nothing is hidden all of a sudden. And I just came in to ask a couple questions. But now, it's like, okay, I'm in a robe, and the lights are on, and nothing is hidden. Well, in the same way, John writes this, beginning in verse 5, follow along with me if you will, because you're going to see it's the same thing going on. John says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Boom, there's the lights. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie. Notice, we lie. God doesn't lie. We lie, and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, we're going to stop there for a moment. This is the first of five tests. And I'm going to call it the walking test. Good news is you can take this test home with you too. Now, those are the kind of tests I like, the take-home test. My wife lived for the pop quiz, but I wanted to be able to have some time with it. In law enforcement, if a person is suspected of driving under the influence of alcohol, a police officer administers a walk and turn test. Now, maybe you've seen this on television. Maybe you've experienced this for yourself. Either way, we are familiar with this walk and turn test. And For this test, the police officer asked the driver to take 9 steps, heel to toe, along a straight line, turn on one foot, and return 9 steps in the opposite direction. And some of you are saying, I couldn't do that sober. I couldn't do that right now. I'm not so off balance. But this is one of several tests a police officer will administer to a suspected drunk driver. And during the test, the police officer looks for 7 indicators of intoxication, impairment. He looks for this. If the driver begins before the instructions are finished. Now, the police officer says, wow, they know what they're doing. They've done this before. They start doing the walk before the police officer says, please step out of the car, or please take 9 steps. He's already out the car and taken the steps down the way. So beginning before the instructions are finished is one indicator. The second one, the person cannot keep balance while listening to the instructions from the police officer. The third one, the person does not touch heel to toe. Fourthly, the person loses balance while turning. Next, the person stops while walking to regain balance. Number 6, the person takes an incorrect number of steps. Instead of 9, they take 29, and they're trying to get away from the police officer or something like that. And finally, the last one, the person uses his or her arms to balance themselves. Well, there are correlations with that sobriety test and what John is saying to us today in these verses. The overriding theme in chapter 1 is walking in the light. It lines up with Jesus' words. In John chapter 8, verse 12, the Gospel of John, not the letter of John, Jesus said, hey, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk. And when he says walk, he means stay in darkness. Be comfortable in darkness. But we'll have the light of life. And walking in the light, in its most simplest definition, I would say, is striving to maintain a close intimacy with Jesus. That means walking in the light. You want to read the Bible. You want to pray. You actually look forward to coming to church, to seeing your brothers and sisters. You enjoy singing the songs to Jesus. You can hardly wait to serve somebody else and to be the one to give water or food or something. And it gets you excited to think, I'm going to witness. I'm going to share the gospel with somebody today. And I can't wait. That's walking in the light. One or all of those things together. It's a closeness with Jesus. But there are indicators that would lead us to conclude that a person is under the influence of the world, under the influence of darkness, and they're walking in darkness. And these correlate with this sobriety test. And the first one, I would say, very similar to that person beginning the test before the instructions are given and can't even listen to the instructions without falling over, very similar. The person who's walking in darkness, again, whether they're not a Christian at all, or they are a Christian and they have strayed into darkness, has a disdain, a dislike for the instructions, the Word of God. They can't bear to listen to me preach the Word. They can hardly bear to read the Bible themselves. They cover their ears when there's a song about Jesus sung, and they certainly don't follow the instructions in the Bible. And then, just like that person who's intoxicated with alcohol, the person who's intoxicated by the world, the things of the world that are not of God, stumbles easily. They trip up easily. They get stumbled by things that they didn't used to get stumbled by. They become angry when somebody disagrees with them. They make fun of other Christians. They gossip about them. And they begin to drift away from fellowship, being in church, reading the Bible, praying. Those things become less and less. And they begin to drift slowly away from those. And the more they drift, the more we drift from the light of Jesus, the darker it gets. And again, those things that you used to just have victory over, whether it's drinking alcohol in excess, taking in a substance that alters your state of being, being with a person who is anything but godly, that just lives in darkness themselves, and now we're hanging out with that person, that's all symptoms of drifting away. And then, just as I read about these seven indicators, one of them being that the person needs to use their arms to balance, or they have to stop so they can regain their balance, so too the person who is walking in darkness begins to rely upon things to hold them up that are not Jesus. Again, as I said, another person, a substance, some worldly wisdom from another book besides the Bible that they say, this is just as good as the Bible. It's even better than the Bible. I'm going to follow this book. Man, that's depending upon things to keep your balance that are not pleasing to God. They try to balance themselves. And as Christians, we come to that place, we say, I can't even stand up. Jesus, I need you. That's good dependence right there. We want to depend on Jesus that much. And if somebody wants to call it a crutch, let them call it a crutch. I will gladly take Jesus Christ as my crutch in this world. He's my I call him my Lord and Savior. Somebody else can call him a crutch if they want. But you can pretty much find out pretty quickly when you talk to that person what their real crutch is, whether it's another person, a substance, or a different philosophy of something. Our crutch will save us for all eternity. Theirs won't. Hey, finally, somebody who's walking in darkness tends to disobey completely the instructions, as I mentioned. They begin to completely, not only drift away, but begin to doubt God's word. They begin to have a dullness to God's word. And the next step, of course, is disobeying and defying God's word. And yes, John, eventually, it's a death, no doubt about it. And this is a process. A drifting, a doubting, a dulling, a despising, a defying. And that's walking in darkness. Now, there are characteristics of walking in darkness. The way Paul puts it, and this is in verse 16, whereas John the Apostle says, walking in light, walking in darkness, Paul the Apostle says, walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. So, again, synonymous with each other. Light, walking in the Spirit. Darkness, walking in the flesh, in our carnal nature, our old nature. And Paul says this in Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you don't want to walk in darkness, then stay in the light. Stay close to Jesus. Paul says, for the flesh, darkness, lust against the Spirit, light, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law or the bondage of sin. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Now, he's going to list the works of darkness. It's not an exhaustive list, but I'm sure they'll sound familiar to you. Here's some things that people do when they're walking in darkness. Adultery. Having sexual relations outside of your marital covenant. Fornication. All types of sexual sin. Married or unmarried. Uncleanness. Lewdness. In other words, perversity. Twisting things that God meant for good, and now the devil has twisted them so much that they're evil things. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies. You start talking against the Bible. You start saying things that are in the Bible that aren't in the Bible. Envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's serious. Now, we spend a lot of time on darkness, of course, and John does too. And the world is full of darkness. All you do, hey, open up your social media account, go to Google, you're going to see a world of darkness in less than 20 seconds. It permeates, saturates the world we live in. There's so much darkness. No surprise. Satan rules over a kingdom of darkness. He's the ruler of this world. And man, when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, so did darkness. And I mean a separation from God. Wickedness, evil, death, destruction, abuse, violence, sexual immorality, everything on this list, it all started back then with the first domino of rebellion against God. But Galatians 5, chapter, or verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So think of walking in the light. Here's what it looks like. Love, a life that is characterized by love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. It's that love that Jesus had. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. So husbands lay down their lives for their wives, wives for their husbands. There's an agape love, an unconditional love. Love, joy. We just spent time on joy. Not happiness, but joy. That knowledge of knowing that I am a son or daughter of God through Jesus Christ. My eternity is secured. I'm born again. That doesn't change. Love, joy, peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Not peace and harmony with the world. I'm one with the world. No, 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 no. It's the peace that Jesus gave his disciples. Peace to you. Peace in the midst of chaos and confusion. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Peace that comes from knowing that Jesus made peace with God on the cross for us. I was the enemy of God. I trusted Jesus, and now I'm the friend of God. That's peace. It's reconciliation. I was an enemy, now I'm a friend. And he goes on. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are the attributes of walking in the light. Now, we might not have all of those at the same time, sometime. Sometimes our condition is weak, but our position doesn't change. We have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but sometimes we don't have all these attributes. The good news is, it's just a simple turning to the light, to Jesus. If you're dabbling in any darkness, or those things have overwhelmed you, you just turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, oh, I don't want to be close to this person, this substance, this philosophy anymore. Please, would you bring me back close to you? Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm turning away now. Fill me with your light, your truth, your love. And that's good. 12 steps, not necessary. A semester course, not necessary. One turn to Jesus, necessary. Repentance. We call it repentance. Confessing your sin. And that's what comes up next in the second test. As he goes on. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we lie to ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We love that verse. 1 John 1:9. Instant restoration. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Using our intoxicated driver analogy, the person says, I'm not drunk, officer. I haven't been drinking. You know, and you could smell the alcohol in their breath, and there's, you know, three cans and two bottles there that, like John told us this morning, they should have recycled them. You're right, John. Okay, you're right. But we would say, I'm not walking in darkness. Why are you judging me, officer? You know, brother or sister, why are you messing up my fun time here? Denying sin. What's wrong with looking at these images? It doesn't hurt to look, does it? Yes, it does. It does hurt to look. Sure, I drink some, but only when I'm stressed or depressed or impressed or oppressed. In other words, all the time. You might hear somebody say, listen, I need a break from church. I get so tired of thinking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's do something else. Can't we do something else? I'm fine on my own. That's denying sin. I can do this thing. Besides, you ought to see what so-and-so is doing. You haven't seen them at church lately, have you? Let me tell you about what they're doing. See, that's denying sin. Trying to cover it up, hide it. And we can call, if we call test number one the walking test, then test number two, we can call it the sin test or the truth test. And the main point is this. Unrepentant, unconfessed sin gets in the way of my fellowship with God. It does. It gets in the way of fellowship with my wife and my kids and my neighbors. And worse yet, if we are sinning without any regret or remorse, then I would question your salvation. I would say, are you even born again? Because you're doing those things and there's no shame, there's no guilt, there's no desire to hide those things. I would say you don't have the light of Christ within you at all. Confess your sins. Call out to Jesus. He'll save you right now. And again, two ways of dealing with sin. Either deny it or you confess it. It's that simple. And we ought not to ever deny the power of sin. Sin is powerful. We ought not to play with sin. It's like playing with fire. We can't take the power, the temptation of sin lightly. It's powerful, no doubt about it. And if we walk casually in the darkness of sin and think, I got this under control, I can do this. Yeah, I once had a drinking problem, but I'm going to go to the bar now and I'm going to witness to all those people. Take heed lest you fall. You're putting yourself in a real bad situation. Don't take the power of sin lightly. We should not take the presence of sin lightly. We don't want to deny the presence of sin. There are two natures warring within us. One is the carnal, natural, sinful man that we're all born with, or woman. And the other is the spirit-filled man or woman. And even when we become born again through Jesus, that old man or woman, the old nature, does not want to die. It wants to master us. As Mike Madigan used to say, it wants to unzip itself from a body bag and torment you still. It doesn't want to give up. And these two, the flesh and the spirit, light and darkness in Jesus, they war against each other. They're in direct opposition to each other. And that's why Paul says we've got to die daily. We've got to reckon the old man dead. We've got to say, Jesus, there are so many temptations I'm going to face today. I know the first phone call I make, the temptation is to want to yell at that person. I don't want to do that, Jesus. Please keep me from going that direction. Would you allow your spirit to overwhelm me today, that I don't do those sins, I don't commit those sins that used to just trip me up like that? I don't want to be that person anymore. So we don't want to deny the power of sin, the presence of sin, or the practice of sin. Again, there are certain behaviors that are very hard to break. We call them habits, but they are sinful. And when we do these things without confessing them, and we seek to rationalize them or justify them or say, that's just the way I am, that's the way God made me. No, He's made you a new creation. And you got to live in the newness of life. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passing away. They have passed away as far as the record goes, but they still want to hold on to you. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. So let's try to live in that newness of life that Jesus has given us. Confessing our sin when it's a sin, receiving forgiveness from Him, and then walking in the light, doing those things that are pleasing to God. We got to keep on keeping on, as Pastor Rick used to say. Keep on keeping on. Keep pressing on towards the mark. The way we do that, how do we stay walking in the light? Again, I love to rely upon those other great pastors that have left me with so much good teaching. And the way Warren Wiersbe said it, he said, this is it. Have the Word of God within us. God's Word is the primary thing to nourish our souls. Reading God's Word, understanding it through the power of the Holy Spirit, memorizing it, singing it, claiming its truths in the face of opposition. So the Word of God within us, and then the people of God around us. worshiping together, fellowshipping, praying together, getting counsel from one another. So, the Word of God within us, the people of God around us, and finally, the glory of God before us. Always keeping in mind that this is not the end. We have a heavenly home waiting for us. That's walking in the light, keeping the Word of God within us, the people of God around us, and the glory of God before us. Thank you, Warren Wiersbe, for sharing that with all of us. From the grave, as Warren Wiersbe died just a few years ago. If you are walking in the light, praise God. Love walking in the light. So good to be in God's presence. And right now, we're walking in the light, all of us. We're sitting in the light. I'm standing. But we're in the light. We're in fellowship right now. It's so good to be here. And again, it ought to be refreshing. Even without the lights, as the church looks so bare and naked, without the Christmas lights, the decorations, the light of Christ is within us. Walking in the light, being close to Jesus. If you are struggling with an area of darkness in your life, you've gravitated towards something that is not of God, then again, turn. We call that repent. Repent. Turn away from it. Turn to Jesus. Say, Jesus, this thing is getting me again. It's mastering me. Please, I don't want to go that route. Forgive me. Give me the strength to keep that substance, that person, that philosophy away from me. I don't want to go there. Help me, Jesus. That's good. Confess your sin. If you don't feel any guilt for any of the stuff I talked about, then you need to be born again. You need to cry out to Jesus to save you. As we pray right now, I invite you to do that. We're going to pray for strength to walk in the light, not in the darkness. We're going to pray for those who are coming to Jesus for the first time. And we're going to pray also for the offering that we're about to receive. If you have an offering, a tither, an offering, just leave it in the back. And there's a basket there. If you feel that God has put it on your heart to want to give of your resources, then do it of your own free will, not under compulsion. Do it because you want to see the kingdom of God furthered in a very practical way, starting in Julian and in the outermost parts. Although he'll do it without your money. But you can join in with him. It's part of the fellowship that you have with God. So maybe as the team comes up, I'm going to pray. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this time you've given us, Lord. Thank you that John received this from you, Jesus, and then he passed it on to us. And Lord, our desire is to walk in the light at all times. Lord, we want to walk in the light. So Lord, would you allow us to do that? We love you, Jesus. And there's no better place to be than in your word, Lord, in fellowship with other Christians, singing our songs, Lord, serving others, being your witness. Oh, we love walking in the light. But Lord, if there's anybody here that's straight into darkness, again, whether it's a person, a substance, a philosophy, Lord, and they want to be free of it, I pray they would cry out to you now and say, Jesus, in their heart of hearts, I'm sorry. I admit it. I have given myself over to this thing. And I know it's not from you, God. It makes me do stupid things, sinful things. I don't want that to be part of my lifestyle. So Jesus, would you help me now to be rid of that thing, that person? Let me tell that person I don't want to be with them anymore. I cannot be with them because light and darkness cannot coexist. I cannot be with them. Lord, let me put that substance aside, whether it's liquid or solid or gas, whatever it is, that brings me into an altered state of being that is not of you, Lord. I want to be free of that. I don't want that to master me any longer. Please, Jesus, help me. Help me to put that away, to get rid of that out of my house, out of my workplace, out of my life. God, give me strength. Lord, I want to walk in the light. Help me, Jesus. Help me. And Lord, if there's anybody here that's never cried out to you for the first time, I pray they would pray right now. They wouldn't wait another minute. And they'd say, Jesus, I don't understand a lot about you, but I need you. I want you to save me, Lord. You're the open door. You're the life ring that's being thrown to me. I want to take it. Jesus, thank you for offering the gift of salvation to me. I receive it now. I am sorry. I confess my sin has been getting in the way of us. Would you take my sin away as far as the east is from the west and give me new life? And Jesus, I know it's called being born again. And I thought that was kind of a freaky thing at first, but now I'm so glad that I am born again of the Spirit. I'm dead to sin. And you've raised me to eternal life. And that's never going to change. What joy that brings me, Lord. I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. I was dead, now I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let me tell somebody about that. Let me do that. And until I see you face to face, God, help me walk in the light. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that prayed that prayer, Lord, let them just stand, come forward and say, I did it. I did it. I prayed the prayer. Tell somebody. And Lord, Lord, part of our worship is just to give back to you what you've given to us. And so we do that now. Lord Jesus, we give what's rightfully yours. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And all throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. Every season found where I'm standing. And I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You train my heart in victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. And I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. The empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sins rolled away because of you, my Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sins rolled away because of you, my Jesus. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. And I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. And I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. And why should I fear? For the evidence is here. And why should I fear? Lord, the evidence is here.
Hey, Jesus rose from the grave. The tomb was empty. And so too, when you call to Jesus, you rise in newness of life. And really, that's baptism. As you go down to the water, you think, the old sinful person I was And then as you come up, as you're brought up, you think, ah, the newness of life, the resurrection in Christ Jesus. That's refreshing. That's great news. And again, when you leave from this place on Sundays, you ought to be refreshed. You ought not to be burdened. You ought to say, wow, Jesus, once again, you took my sin and I was struggling in it and you've given me new hope. Or maybe you're saying for the first time, I'm alive. Like, I'm alive. My spirit is alive in me. What joy, what great news that is. Either way, it's good news. It's great news. And so please don't leave without letting somebody know that that's what's happened today to you. Hey, Ken's got some announcements, and then if you can stick around for a few more minutes, I have a little special explanation I'm going to give about something that we're going to see after our time together here in the kitchen, an unusual pastry today, but it's got a special purpose. So bear with us. Enjoy the announcements. Ken is the best announcement guy in the world. So.
Second best. We want to thank Tina and Danae and Tony for putting away our Christmas decorations. You may not have noticed, but they are gone, and they are put away safely, we hope, until we'll find out next year when we unpack. But thank you for taking the time to do that. Thank you to cleaning crew number one for all the help cleaning the church this weekend. We have devotionals in the back. If you are a married couple, we have a special devotional for married couples. Or if you are a single person, we have devotionals for single folks as well back there, as well as our Read Through the Bible in a Year bookmark. So please grab those. They're on the back table in the back room back there. If you have not already submitted a photo for our new directory to Lacey, please do that. Today, when you get home, get a picture, email it to her. Her email address is in your bulletin. Take that home. If not, if you don't send a new one, as I said this morning, I'm just going to go online, find a picture of somebody, and put that in as your picture, the goofiest looking picture that I can find. So please do that and send us a good picture. You'll notice our table's set up in the back. We are having our first Parenting God's Way class today. So that's why all those tables are set up back there. We're having lunch for the folks who are in the class. Now, let me say that again. We are having lunch for those who are in the class. So if you're not in the class, do not go back and load up a plate full of lunch and eat, okay? Not in the class, no lunch. In the class, lunch. All right, pretty simple. So please remember that. But we do have, as Tony said, something for everyone. So he's going to explain that in a minute. Yeah, Tony will explain all the details of it. But inside of this special treat today, there will be a little figurine representing the baby Jesus. And if you are lucky enough to have that baby Jesus in your slice of bread, you are a winner, and you have to bring 1 dozen chocolate chip cookies and put them on that table where I sit, right there in the back. If you do not have a baby Jesus in your slice, you are not a winner, and you should bring 2 dozen chocolate chip cookies, put them on that table right there that I sit at. So remember that, whether you're a winner or a loser. I'm really praying for a lot of losers, but please remember that. But we will have that, and Tony will explain more about that because he speaks Spanish. Tuesday morning prayer and pretty good coffee begins on Tuesday, 7 o'clock a.m. So you'll need something at that time, but it's open to anyone at. You can come if you come at 7:15. You can come at 7:30. You can leave at 7:15 if you come at 7. It's come and go whenever you want. Pray and drink some pretty good coffee. I don't like coffee, but that's okay. Wednesday morning men's Bible study in the book of Proverbs continues this week as well. So men, join us at 6:30 a.m. I know, on Wednesday, 6:30. Most of you didn't even know there was a 6:30 a.m. But there is a 6:30 a.m. Happens every day. And on Wednesday, when you look at your clock and it's 6:30, come here for men's Bible study. Uni's Tuesday morning Bible study and Tina's Tuesday night Bible study will begin on January the 24th. So remember that. Children's Ministry Leadership Kickoff Meeting is set for next Sunday, January the 15th, immediately after the second service. So if you are interested in being in the children's ministry or just want to know more about it, or if you've already been involved in the children's ministry, please plan on attending that meeting as well. Today is the last day to get your cards, your Christmas cards, on the back table back there. So please look on that back table and see if you have any cards with your names on them. And then also in your bulletin, you should have had two slips of paper. These are names of, could be a staff, could be a counselor, could be a camper for Julian Oaks Camp, which is coming up next weekend. And I happen to have Tina, yes, as one of mine. Needs a hideous amount of prayer. And Miranda. So I have Tina and Miranda. So we'll be praying diligently for them, because really. Nothing else needs to be said there. So take whoever you have and pray for them especially, but pray for the whole camp as well, that some will be saved, that lives will be changed, and that God's name will be glorified. So remember that. That's all the announcements that I have. So Tony is now going to come up and show you how to eat the bread.
Si es una corona de mosca de reyes, rosca de reyes significa que... No. Anyway, so this is it. So this is... Yeah, so again... The bread is called Rosca de Reyes, and some would say it signifies the roundness. Rosca, some would say a wreath, a crown, it's Corona de Reyes. But when we look at the bread, of course, we think of a few things. One, we see the dried fruit, and it signifies the jewels and the crowns of the kings. This is eaten usually on the day of Epiphany, which is January 6th, which some would use as the day when the kings came to visit the baby Jesus. We can't be certain of that, but it is celebrated throughout the world on that day, the day of the kings, Epiphany. And, of course, they came to see the baby Jesus, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, as Ken said, there usually is a figurine, a little muñeca, a little doll, a little baby Jesus in this. And we thought there was this morning. And I said, Rachel, nobody got the... We cut 20 slices, okay? No, and she made three of these, mind you, three of these. And Rachel said, Tony, come here, psst, psst, come over here. She said, Antonio and I, we bought the little dolls. We couldn't find them to put them inside. So there are no baby Jesus in here. Yeah, I know. So, and Rachel, of course, was very, very overcome with conviction when she heard about the sin message I just preached. And she said, there isn't a baby Jesus in here. So don't lie to them. So, but usually there is a baby Jesus. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. But usually, yeah, you cut it up. And now, that signifies, again, a biblical meaning. It's, as you know, the story, King Herod was very cruel and wicked. So he ordered the death of all infants 2 and under. Well, Joseph and Mary were told in a dream to go to Egypt, to flee. And so the hiding of Jesus signifies the hiding away of baby Jesus for 2 years in Egypt. So there is always a biblical significance with things that you think are just, oh, on the surface. Now, there's more you might find, but on this day also, there is much of Latin America, there are giving of gifts today. This is a big gift-giving day. Rachel brought me my gift right here, my apron. Catch up with Jesus. Let us praise and relish him. It says, because he loves me from my head, tomatoes. Okay, tomatoes. So anyway... I had to display my little gift that she gave us. But there are going to be 2.5 of these. We ate a half of one this morning. It's delicious. Rachel made this. Usually you buy these from the store. She said, I'm going to make one. And so she made 3 of them. So Adriana, her dear, hija mejor, you know, okay. She's going to go back and, yes, and we'll be serving that with coffee afterwards, with some snacks, with some coffee and drinks. So let's ask God's blessing upon it, then I'll excuse you. Really, I really will. And I will say too, I know it sounds rude, but we only have enough lunch for our participants, which is our parents, our kids with their parents, and those who are working with childcare. So you can get your Rosca de Reyes, enjoy it for a few minutes, and then if the fellowship gets out of hand, bring it into here, and we'll close the doors back there for our little class of encouragement to the parents and the kids, as we're going to eat lunch together first, then we're going to send the kids downstairs after lunch with the parents, after a fun family activity, and then they'll have some time downstairs for 1 hour, and we're going to accomplish a lot in a very short time, but let's ask God's blessing. So thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, for giving us this time. Thank you for our Rosca de Reyes. Lord, we're looking forward to it. Just taking a little bite out of that sweet bread, God, is going to bring us happiness. It is, Lord. It's going to taste good. So thank you for Rachel and Antonio baking these breads, Lord, with these dried fruits, God, and letting us remember, Lord, even 12 days after Christmas, that the Savior came, the King of Kings was born, Lord, and even the greatest of their time knelt down to worship Jesus. And Lord, so do we. We do the same now. And Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to eat, the fellowship we're about to enjoy as brothers and sisters. Bless our day with good things as we walk in the light. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Enjoy. Enjoy. We'll see you. Thanks for coming.